I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here at WMB, and it's so awesome that I get to join you this morning for our service. You'll notice there's some different things going on up here. I can't help but want to tap dance. Unfortunately, I hurt my ankle getting out of bed, and so I'm unable to show you my skills, but it makes me, there's so many triggers happening up here to a person with a brain like mine. You know, I want to jump out onto the monitor and be a rock star. There's all kinds of stuff going on in my brain right now. And so we're going to try to not be too distracted by all of this stuff. It's an excellent play. I forget what it's called. What's it called, Julie? Sounds of Christmas. The folks have been putting on a great production with the young people, and I've saw them dancing. They dance almost as good as me and Sean. But you know, we'll work with them next year maybe and help with their skills. I'm so excited to be here this morning with you. And this morning it's a different morning. You can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 and just keep your finger there. This morning is our Barnabas Sunday morning. It's a special morning that we do once a year to kind of celebrate the things that are happening in what's called our Barnabas Ministries. Now, some of you folks here would know what that means, and some are newer to WMB, and so you don't know exactly what that means. And that's the whole purpose of today, is to kind of set some vision and refresh some knowledge about what the Barnabas missional expression here at WMB are. Now, before we do that, I just want to back up a little bit because I want to talk about this name Barnabas. This name Barnabas is really important, and it's somewhat strategic, I think. In the past, I wasn't part of naming the ministries, but I do think there was strategy involved around, let's call it Barnabas. And so many of you have read the Bible, I'm assuming. Yep, good. And so you've probably heard the name Barnabas before. It's a man in the scriptures named Barnabas, but his real name is not actually Barnabas. His real name is Joseph. The Bible's a little bit like a hockey dressing room where you get nicknames, but then those nicknames actually mean something far deeper than they ever could in a hockey dressing room, if you know what I'm saying. Does anybody here at WMB play hockey? Or in the past ever played hockey? This is why my jokes fall so flat so often, because there's like six people who are athletes, or sorry, play sports. Oh, sorry. Oh, can you tell I'm in a mood? Barnabas is a really important figure in Scripture, and we're first introduced to him in the book of Acts. And so I want us to read from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. It's when we're first introduced to Barnabas. But we need to read it in context. We need to read what's above it so that we can understand what is happening in the life of the church at this time in the Scriptures, and why it would be that Joseph gets his name changed to Barnabas. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says this: all the believers were one in heart and mind. Could you imagine, folks? Could you imagine what that could possibly be like, where all of the believers were at one in heart and mind? It says no one, literally, folks, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. So this is the state of the church at this time in history. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I can't help but wonder, when no one claims that any of their possessions are their own, when people are sharing everything, that there would be great power as you testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that God's grace would be powerfully at work in all the people. Doesn't that make sense? It says, and there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money for the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So Sean's going to come up with an offering plate, and we're going to start a line. Has anybody been to Africa? Anybody been on a mission or anything like that? Do you know when they do offering in church, everybody dances down the aisle to drop the money into the plate? And often, very impoverished people are giving more than they could truly afford to ever give. And they're dancing about it. And they're singing about it. And they're praising the Lord. This is the picture that we're given in Acts chapter 4, folks. Where there is no need in the church. Everybody's need is met because people don't have possessions. They're willingly giving up those possessions. And the response is that God's grace is so powerfully at work in them. Joseph, here it is. Here's Barnabas, a Levite from Cyprus. So Joseph is from a line of priests, whom the apostles called Barnabas. So there's his renaming. So, hey, Joe, you're now gonna be called Barnabas. Well, what does Barnabas mean? Well, according to Luke, Barnabas means son of encouragement. And what did Barnabas do? Well, he joined the party. He sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Fascinating. That they set the stage in this passage with the state of where the church is at as they're trying to care for everybody's needs so that everybody can be with one heart and one mind to have no one in need. And then we're introduced to this character named Barnabas who joins the club and sells his land and gives it to the mission. Right away, we're shown an important character trait of the one that they call Barnabas. He's generous, so much so that he sold land he owned in order to help those in need. You see, I think Barnabas knew something. I think Barnabas knew that you need to be personally invested because being personally invested helps you to give sacrificially, to see the investment that's needed in the world around you. And when we're personally invested, when we make sacrifices, it changes how we get involved in something. Because when we get involved now, it's much more personal. We're not distant from it. It's hitting home because he sold land in order to support those who were in need. Now, the name Barnabas itself is also a really significant name that's given by the apostles. Now, in our day and age, we don't really focus much on names. My name's Jeff. Do you know what Jeff means? Hockey fan, hockey player, Leafs fan. No, Jeff means God's peace. Now, my wife's laughing right now. Right? Do I live up to my name? I don't know. But see, in the early church and all through scripture up to this point, when your name was changed, it really meant something. It was representing who you are in so many ways. And so Barnabas, according to Luke, means son of encouragement. But if you study the name a little bit deeper than that, it could also mean son of comfort or son of exhortation. And so we're being told something about the person Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the son of comfort, the son of exhortation. This represented who Barnabas was as a person. They're all fitting names for Joseph, the man we call Barnabas. And when you read about him in the book of Acts, it doesn't take long, folks, to see this significance. After all, Barnabas is the one who endorsed the Apostle Paul to all of the other apostles. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God with Paul and separate from Paul. They might have had a little bit of a spat and had a little bit of a separation. He sacrificed his time to travel and to bring good news to both Gentiles and Jews. Now, there was a bit of a challenge there because the bringing together of Gentiles and Jews is quite miraculous. And that's where the debate lied. Paul reaching the Gentiles and Barnabas struggling a little bit on what that could or couldn't look like. Folks, Barnabas is a great example of what the church represented in the world around them at the time. Now, if we zoom out a little bit further, we can see just how the church was going about participating in God's mission. If you remember several months ago, this was a while back, we preached on this exact topic, the mission of God, that God has called his church to join him on his mission. That's important for us to understand. It's not that God is joining us on our mission. It's actually the opposite. We are joining God on his mission. He's invited us in, and so we find this summarized in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. If you don't remember any scripture, this is the one passage I highly recommend that you memorize. It will correct a lot of poor theology. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, the Apostle Paul says this: "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment." Now here it is: "to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Okay, folks, God's mission in this world is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And the Lord is inviting each person who professes him as Lord and Savior, each person who makes up the church, to join him on that mission of unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And this is the mission that Barnabas represented. It's the mission that he's living out through selling his property to give to the poor. It's the mission that he's living out by sharing the gospel to those who don't know about God's kingdom, because that's what they were proclaiming, right? The coming of God's kingdom, by encouraging others to enter into that kingdom and to join God on mission. This, folks, is what the church is called to do. Barnabas is living his life on mission with God, and we're called to join God in that. And so it's fitting that here at WMB, we call our local missional expressions Barnabas Missions. Does that make sense now? Everybody say yes, just for my self-esteem. Today is Barnabas Sunday. And once a year, we come to you and we present to you this ministry, asking you to fund the work that's being done through this ministry. And this year's no different, except that this year I want to spend some time sharing with you about the current missional activity that we've had going on over the past year, and about how we're expanding these missional expressions to Kitchener-Waterloo. And so, like Barnabas, we as a church want to join God's mission to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. This is what's driving us as a church. We're all called as Christians to live this missional life. No one is exempt from it. And so this means that as a church, as a corporate body, we encourage one another, we share life with one another, we give up time and money in order to support each other, and we have a deep compassion for those in our world who are in need, not just in financial need, but also those who don't know the love of Jesus, who don't know about his kingdom here on earth. It's what Barnabas represented, a life on mission with God. It's what we're called to live. Like Marv said over the past 2 weeks, we're called to live this in our workplace, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods. We're called to even live it in the lineup at Tim Hortons. Now, many of you know that we are one church with two locations. How many people actually knew that? Okay, this is good. This is better than the hockey thing. All right, we're tracking somewhere. We have two unique communities positioned by God in specific areas of Waterloo and in Kitchener to reach our neighbors with the love of Jesus. Now, folks, this puts us in an amazing position to live out God's mission within each of these specific communities. And our pastoral team has spent a little bit of time digging into, what does this mean? Does our location actually matter? Is God strategically placing us somewhere with a purpose and a mission within that community? Or has all of that changed? Is it clear to us that God wants us to bless the community around us? And the simple answer is, yes, he does. God wants us to reach our local community, and we have these facilities that are located in specific places. And we think that God has placed us in Waterloo and in Kitchener with a purpose. So over the past few years, we've been praying through what our missional expressions, you'll hear that language quite a bit, might look like in both Waterloo and in Kitchener. So this morning, I'm gonna start a little bit with our Kitchener site. Our Kitchener site is located at 19 Ottawa Street North. Has anybody been there? Oh, see, this is really good. This is good. So you don't play hockey, but you go to Kitchener. This is positive. Right, like our Kitchener location is right in the heart of Kitchener, right at the edge of the downtown area. And did you know that organizations like One Roof, which is a youth homeless shelter, like Ray of Hope, which I'm sure lots of us are familiar with the ministries that they do, did you know that both of those ministries are within minutes from our Kitchener site location? And so as we've been praying through this, with that in mind, we've strategically begun to form WMB Kitchener's site into a church that reaches street-involved people through practicing faith. Mike, who is on staff, Mike Burgess, who's on staff over at Kitchener, has been developing relationships with each of these agencies strategically with One Roof and Ray of Hope in order to partner in ways that we haven't partnered with in the past. How many people know that it's not all about WMB going and doing things, that it's about WMB partnering with those that are also doing things to help enhance the things that they're doing, right? And so that's what Mike's been tasked to do. And this has been so fruitful at the Kitchener site. It's led, you ready for this? To educating the Kitchener site, the people in the church, around street-involved people's stories. They're being introduced to real human beings that are street-involved living here in Kitchener-Waterloo. And it's helping that church to understand how to share Jesus with their neighborhood. In so many ways, we've taken a posture of come to us, our doors are open, when in reality, it's both ways, isn't it? Now, I need you to understand something. This is really, really important. Mike is not a local missionary serving street-involved people. Mike, it's not like standing back and going, oh, Mike is doing such a good job with those people. That's not the mentality that we have here at WMB, I hope. He's not a local missionary serving street-involved people. Mike is an equipper who God has placed on mission in Kitchener in order to help God's people to be the church in its local neighborhood. There's a big difference. Now, of course, Mike is also a Christian, and so he develops relationships with people. He actually really has a gift for it if you've ever seen Mike with people. But more importantly, folks, Mike is helping to invite the church into the mission field that God has placed them in, which is right outside of their own front doors. And Adam and Mike, Adam's our site pastor, and Mike is the urban something pastor. Urban missions, is that it, Sean? Urban missions? I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. He's a pastor here. They've baptized folks over this past year that are currently street involved. And our Kitchener WMB community has welcomed their neighborhood into their family. They've embraced them, encouraged them, and shared Jesus with them. Literally, folks, being Barnabas to the people around them. And so we're calling everyone at our Kitchener site to get involved in this, to show the love of Jesus to everyone who walks through their doors. Here in Waterloo, God has a different plan because we're located in a different neighborhood with different demographics all around us. And so we don't have a large street-involved population around this location. And so the Lord has led us in different ways. And in Waterloo, we have several different missional expressions that serve our local community. We have our newcomers or refugee ministries. Now, we know, how many know that? Good, all right, so, not enough hands. So we know that many people from all over the world are coming into the Waterloo region. In fact, statistics show that the share of recent immigrants who settled in this region has approximately doubled in the past 5 years or so. Think about that for a second. In the past 5 years, the amount of immigrants coming into the region of Waterloo has doubled in the past 5 years. And WMB as a church has felt called to partner in welcoming these newcomers and refugees, both with their practical needs and with the love and hope of Jesus. And so we fill practical needs, but more importantly, we help to disciple and share Jesus Christ with newcomers to Canada. And we don't do this alone. We do this in partnership with Compass Refugee Ministries, Refugee Center, a local Christian organization that is formerly called MCRS, Mennonite Coalition for Refugee Support. Praise Jesus for the name change. Just purely because it's shorter. Anyway, their role is to help with people who are coming into Canada to navigate the refugee claim process. We at WMB don't do that. Compass does that work, and we partner with them. And as a church, our role is to work alongside of them in welcoming newcomers to Canada into our community and to provide support for them as they start their new life here in Canada. We have welcomed many people from all over the world to WMB through this ministry. Many of you probably don't know this, but each week this service happening right now, live before you, exciting, eh? Is being translated into Spanish and into Farsi to accommodate newcomer families that are here at WMB. I can wave to some of you. And we don't even know if they're really truly translating. You know, Mary could be up there saying, and this weird guy up front who's a little bit chubby is saying stuff that doesn't matter. But it's good. It's good, right? Sometimes I look out and I see some of our newcomers smiling and I'm like, wait a minute. Now, then we have our Barnabas individual supports, which invests in the lives of people in our local community who are facing financial hardship. Now, this ministry, folks, this ministry has been especially busy over the past couple years, because how many know that it's very difficult to buy groceries and to live in our current climate? And so it's been hard for a lot of these people to survive. And so the cost of living, it's sky high, and many people are struggling out there. And so here at WMB, we offer emergency support, but more importantly, we work with each individual around ways that they can flourish in the long term. Through regular one-on-one support, we help individuals learn and prepare realistic budgets. We help them to set goals and to work toward long-term flourishing, all the while sharing Jesus with them, praying for them, and encouraging them along the way. I love it when I get to meet folks that have come to the church to meet with Wayne. Where's Wayne? Is Wayne in here? There he is, back at the back, right? Folks come in to meet with Wayne, and I've seen the fruit in their lives as God slowly transforms them and encourages them by giving them hope for their future. We have the adopt a family thing going on right now where folks who need a meal and to be able to provide gifts, where WMB, you folks, can partner and be able to support these families that Wayne is connected to in order to provide Christmas for those families. And so I want to encourage you, go onto our website. You can find all the information there. Better yet, go onto the app. The app is far more functional, and it'll walk you through it, and you can help to support or adopt a family that's in need. I know that we still need a few more families adopted. And then we have this North Waterloo missional expression, and it's focused here in North Waterloo, actually just outside of our doors in a community that's completely walkable distance from here. And it's about creating opportunities to build relationships with people that are living in low-income neighborhoods right near our Waterloo site. Like I said, it's just right outside our doors. And they develop programs that are all kinds of fun with kids. There's skill developing programs for all ages. And our hope is that through building relationships and trust in this community, that we'll have opportunities to invite people into the life and community of WMB and ultimately into a relationship with Jesus. And I've seen the work that Steph is doing in this community, and she would love to invite you folks into helping with that by developing relationships with people. Now, I know, I get it. That's tough. I know that it's time consuming, but remember Barnabas? Remember chapter 4 of the church in Acts, where people are living under the grace of Jesus Christ and they're giving up time? You see, life, we all have the same 24 hours, don't we? And we all choose what we do with that 24 hours. And what I want to do is challenge each of you this morning to take a step back and say, does the 24 hours I use align with serving Jesus fully? We want to build relationships with people. We want to offer hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. We incorporate a shalom principle, a flourishing mentality of helping people to help themselves, a solution-focused approach, so to speak, where we help draw out of individuals ways forward to change, to flourish in their lives. And for every person, that looks different. All the while, we're sharing Jesus through relationships. And just like Barnabas did in the communities that he ministered, this is how we live up to the name of encouraging others. Now this year, we've got something exciting that we're gonna talk more about in the future. We're not gonna get into it today, but we are going to be partnering with a local neighborhood here just around the corner to build a brand new basketball court. Anybody here play basketball? I think there's more basketball people than there is hockey. What's happening? If you go just down the street, there's a community that is just full of young people running all over the place in the summers. And so we want to partner with them. So it's not just WMB coming into a community and building a basketball court, but we're partnering with them as they raise money and they participate in the process of putting in a new basketball court. And so there's going to be a bunch of stuff that people here from WMB will be offered to be able to engage in this process. Like I said, there's more to come as we roll that out, but it is something that's on our radar. We also have the Christmas toy drive. How many people know kids want toys at Christmas? How many know adults want toys at Christmas? Right? It never leaves us. We're always a kid at heart when it comes to Christmas time in so many ways. And so we have the Christmas toy drive. Now, the unique thing about the Christmas toy drive that is in the North Waterloo Barnabas Ministries is that WMB is helping to provide toys at a store that the local community themselves have organized that we then are participating in. And so again, it's that flourishing mentality where they're coming up with solution-focused approaches to helping their own community, and WMB is coming alongside them to help. And then we have this ministry called Victoria Hills. We had a church plant years ago on the other side of Kitchener in the Victoria Hills area, and they planted a ministry there. And Victoria Hills is a high density, high immigrant, and low income neighborhood in Kitchener. And through this program, we offer a vibrant array of programs and activities that seek to give newcomers to Canada a place to belong and opportunities to believe and grow in Jesus. Programs like Learn English, Make Friends. Is Mary Ellen here today? I think I saw her around. There she is, waving her hand. Mary Ellen and many volunteers from here at Waterloo and the Kitchener site will help in these different programs where they make friends with other immigrants. They help to integrate newcomers into Canada, more importantly, into Canadian culture, while still celebrating their culture at the same time. And they learn English through reading the Bible and sharing with one another. And they have in-person programs and online programs. It's really quite neat. Now, each of these missional expressions that are across Kitchener and Waterloo share the love of Jesus in really unique ways. If you start to research these programs and learn a little bit more about them, I highly, highly encourage you to do that. You'll notice that they're very unique. And just like the biblical Barnabas, who was willing to invest in the work of the gospel, we hope that you too will invest, primarily, folks, through getting involved. That's our dream. That's everyone here at WMB is participating in our missional expressions in ways that help our community around us to thrive and to hear the good news of the forgiveness of our sins from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That we would be Barnabas to our local communities, helping to meet people's needs and encouraging them with the love of Jesus and pointing them toward a relationship with Christ. And the staff team, people that have had put up their hands here, they coordinate these ministries, but they need all of us to get involved. You see, they can't be the only doers. Their role is to help mobilize others, and this is how we live into being the church in our local context. Now, as I shared at the beginning, there was more to the ministry of Barnabas than just encouragement. The person in Scripture that simply cared for the poor in local communities and he engaged with others, he shared Christ. Barnabas loved the people of God too, the church. So much so that he sold land. If you look at the context of the passage, he sold land in order to make sure everyone in the community had what they needed. It's talking about Christian community. So we've expanded our Barnabas ministry expressions to also, folks, serve within our own church community as well. A few months ago, we shared with you our plans as a church to help with mental health realities that many of us are navigating on a daily basis. We shared about three new programs that navigate mental health through discipleship. And I'm excited to tell you that this ministry season after Christmas in January, we'll be launching Freedom Sessions as a program that digs deeper into the entire person. It brings healing and freedom through intense discipleship. And the staff team is just on the last leg. We're in the last like month and a half of completing this program together. And this program is about finding freedom in Christ, finding deliverance, and prayerful reflection on who God has created us to be. And another program that we'll be introducing in the spring will be Soul Care, which helps disciple in ways that dig into the whole person, that offers ways forward in your faith that lead to freedom. You see, folks, discipleship isn't just about learning and then never applying what you learned. Discipleship is about knowing Jesus more deeply and living out what you've learned. You see, that's what discipleship is. It's about living. It's about faith in action, not just about knowing stuff and then feeling bad because I don't do it. It's life on mission. And so we'll also be launching a church-wide counseling service. And starting next week, Lord willing, we will be asking everyone here to sign up for this service. So it's kind of like a church-wide EAP program. Do you know what that You know, where your workplace offers counseling and the EAP program pays for that counseling. It's kind of the same thing, but we need people to opt into it. There's no strings attached, but to legally be able to give them your name. That's it, just your name, no contact information. Because what that does, if you opt into the program, it allows you to bypass us and go directly to the counseling organization and request a counselor here in the local Kitchener-Waterloo region. You can do it both online or in person, and you will get 6 sessions that are completely covered, and we won't even know that that's going on. If you don't opt into the program itself, then in order to access the program, you'll actually have to call the office and have a pastor do a referral for you. And so starting next week, we're going to be having the opt-in opportunity for each of you to opt into the program. And I highly encourage you to do that. So there'll be way more details to follow starting next week on how you'll go about to doing that. Most of the registration will be in-person based. And so if you're watching online, you'll have to contact the office to let them know that you're interested in this as well. And what this counseling support program does, like I said, is offers up to 6 sessions with a Christian counselor, also in partnership with the programs that we're offering as well. And so sometimes when you're in freedom sessions, you also need to do individual counseling as well. And we want to be able to support you in that. And so, like I said, we'll be starting registration. Now, lastly, how much time? I've been a while. Sean, I get another 20 minutes or so, don't I? I'll be wrapping up in a second. Lastly is this. How many people have heard of Woomba? Yeah. Many of you have heard of Woomba, the kids' camp that runs here every summer. And so there is some changes coming up with Woomba. There's been a few different things that I kind of want to explain quickly. We've merged this camp into our Barnabas Missions umbrella this year. And so the number that you're going to see in the not too distant future is including Woomba costs that we need to raise this year. And there's several reasons why we believe this fits into our missional expressions through the Barnabas ministries. The first is that we're expanding how many kids participate by adding more capacity. And so the program is going to be larger. Last year it was completely full and had a wait list. And so this year we're expanding those numbers to be able to accommodate more families. Plus, we'll be expanding how we go about serving families this coming summer. We'll be offering the regular camp programming, but we're also adding aftercare so that families who are working can have their kids participate in the program. And so really the gist of it is this. The hours that we used to run didn't work for somebody that had to be at work early in the morning and worked until later into the afternoon. And so often you would have to drop your kids off at 8:30 and pick them up at 3:30 or 4 or something like that. And that doesn't work for many working families. And so what we noticed was the program wasn't accessible for people in our local neighborhood who wanted to access the program. And so not only are we expanding the numbers of kids that we're going to take in, we're also offering an aftercare program that will run until 6 p.m. that night, each and every day. And so the drop-off time will be moved to be earlier, and then by offering this access care, we're expanding the program to people who are working hard to make a living, but struggling to pick their kids up at the times that we head. Because folks, Woomba serves our local community, with the attendance being predominantly kids from our local community who do not know Jesus. And we get the opportunity as a church to share the love of Christ with these kids every day, all summer. Now, the funding for this program used to come mostly out of the government. And so we hire university students, college students to come in and to work this summer program. But last year, most people didn't realize this, but the government cut half of that program. And so not just churches, but all people who applied for funding for student jobs got half of what they got the previous year because that program was literally cut in half. And we expect in this climate and the way that government's spending money, I won't give any political opinion on that because I'm just a preacher. We believe that there could be more cuts coming. And so what this means is we have to shift in how we're doing Woomba. We can't rely on that anymore. And so we need to raise funds in order to offer this program. So we need you folks. We need you to help with funding of this outreach-based ministry, and we believe it fits perfectly with our Barnabas expressions as it serves families without barriers because it's a pay-as-you-can program. And so there's no barriers to access. We're trying to eliminate these barriers by expanding programming and so on. And it's a pay-as-you-can program. It's open to everybody and anybody that needs that help. So this year, our cost to run these Barnabas missional expressions is $330,000. That's nothing. No, it really isn't in the big picture of things, because if 30 people gave $5,000, which is only $417 a month, that equals $150,000 right there. And if 50 people gave $3,000, which is $250 a month, there's the other 150K. And so there's 300,000 right there. And then if we could just get 30 more people to give $1,000, which is only $83 a month, we've met our funding. And that folks is 110 people. There's 400 people sitting in this auditorium right now, and another roughly 200 sitting in Kitchener. And so could you imagine, go to the next slide. With this year's goal being 330,000, if 400 people attending today on average gave $80, we'd have our, what did I say? Oh, and 80 people attending online. I can't see, eh? But here, I'll just look at this. If 400 people give $825, which is $70 a month, the funds would be entirely raised. So it seems like a big number, but it's really, really possible. So I want to ask you this. I'm not much of a fundraiser. I'm not very good at this, actually. You might have noticed. But how is God nudging you? Because that's what I believe in. It's not about me convincing you or telling you of all the good work that WMB is doing. It's about you going to Jesus Christ and asking through the presence of his Spirit in your life, Lord, what are you nudging me to do? Are you nudging me to participate, to help with these programs? Are you nudging me to give financially? Are you asking me to do both? And so let's just take a moment and let's just ask the Lord that right now. Father, as we presented the work that you have called WMB Church to do in its local community, Father, I know that you living in each believer's hearts is already speaking to each of us. That we have this big ask of $330,000 to be funded for these missional expressions, but that you, Lord, are already nudging individuals in one way or another to participate in these missional expressions. And so, Lord, I pray that you would reveal now to each person what that looks like. And Father, high odds are it'll be stretching, because that is what you do. And so I pray, Lord, that as you are stretching each of us, that we would not function in fear, but that we would live by faith and respond to the nudging of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several different ways that you can give to provide for these ministries. And so again, I encourage you, I believe that the Lord has dropped something in your heart already. And so there are ways to give in person. You can give through the envelopes. There's some in the back of the chairs. There's also envelopes that are on the black boxes walking out the doors. And all you have to do is write on the Barnabas line what it is that you're giving. And just drop it in the box or give it to the welcome desk and they'll be happy to help with that. You can also give via e-transfer, and that is, the email address is give@wmbchurch.ca. In the notes section, please state that it's for our Barnabas mission. And then you can also go to wmbchurch.ca and /give, and you can give online. You can use credit card or debit. Just follow the instructions. And again, in the notes section, just let us know that it's for Barnabas. And I believe it actually gives you the opportunity to click on Barnabas itself. And then, folks, you can give through the new app. All you have to do is register a payment method, and it'll pull right up, and you can click on Barnabas Missions, and then it will go to that. And lastly, you can call the office, and the office is happy to set up for you even a monthly payment plan if that's what the Lord is nudging. And so let me just pray for that offering right now as Sean and the worship team come to lead us in communion. Let's just take a moment and pray for this offering as you respond in the Spirit this morning. Father, you know the need. You know what you've called your church to. And you know, Lord, that you've called us to respond to that. And so, Lord, I really believe it's as simple as that. That you have called each of us to live our lives by the presence of your Spirit, to hear your voice and to respond to that voice. That these ministries are bringing your kingdom here on earth through loving our neighbors, through these missional expressions. And so, Lord, may we do this in obedience this next year, honoring you and loving you and sharing your Son Jesus with our neighborhoods. And all God's people said, amen, amen.